Well, a lady purchased a canary, and she affectionately called the canary Chirpy. Okay? Chirpy brought all kinds of song and beauty into her home. And one day while she was vacuuming, she looked down in the bottom of his cage and thought, "My, the bottom of his cage is awfully dirty. I think I'll vacuum the bottom of his cage." Wow, y'all are way ahead of me. So while she is vacuuming away the bottom of the cage, the phone rings. And she reaches over for the phone, and of course the end of the vacuum heads up towards Chirpy. And Chirpy gets sucked down the tube, down to the little bag. And of course she's in a panic mode. And so she opens up the vacuum cleaner, she rips open the bag, and there's Chirpy barely surviving. Well, she breathed a sigh of relief, and she thought, but oh, he's so dirty now. So she takes Chirpy and runs over to the kitchen faucet and puts him underneath it and turns the water on to clean him up. Now, Chirpy's almost drowning by now, but he's still alive. And so then she goes, he's wet. And so she goes and gets a hair dryer and she starts hair drying Chirpy. Well, this was small town USA, and a newspaper reporter from the small town newspaper caught wind of this and came to visit her and ask her, "Well, what's Chirpy like now?" And she replied, "Well, he doesn't sing much anymore." And I thought about Chirpy's story, and I think it reminds us that sometimes in life, tragedy comes upon us unexpectedly. Our hearts are singing merrily, and then there's a phone call that changes everything. We don't sing as much anymore. Our Christmas series is called Hope for the Heart at Christmas. And life brings us all sorts of uncertainties, but it also brings joys, as we prayed about earlier. Life brings us setbacks, but also brings us love. If we're not careful, life can be a little overwhelming. So today I want us to look at hope for wounded hearts. Hope for wounded hearts. Some of you may be hurting this morning, and the center of your pain may be the concern for your own welfare, or maybe for someone you love. You're dealing maybe with job loss or financial crisis or family turmoil or health crisis, or maybe it's grief of losing someone you love. Now, we would like to think when it comes to wounded hearts that they come mainly when we venture outside of God's will, but that's not necessarily true. We all sin, no doubt. But there are wounds to the heart that come even because we're traveling God's path. Sometimes I think, and when it comes to the Christmas story, we glamorize Mary. And when we do, sometimes we miss her trials and we miss her wounds that she had in life. We concentrate on her being the mother of the Savior, Jesus Christ, and we miss the hardships that came due to that. I mean, let's just start with the story itself. She is most likely a 12 to 15-year-old girl when she finds out that she's going to have a baby. Now, try that one out at home. Mom, Dad, guess what? I'm pregnant. And it's not what you think, it's by the Holy Spirit. I haven't had relationships with any man. And if you're the mom and dad, what are you going to think? Right, Mary? Sure. But see, Jesus would be no ordinary child either. There are wounds that Mary felt because of the nature of Jesus' calling, not because Mary did some awful sin involved with it. Well, we get an initial glimpse just 8 days after Jesus' birth. And I want us to look as our jumping off passage, Luke 2, beginning with verse 25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him." Now, Simeon's opening words here for Mary and Joseph, they're inspiring. This is what we think of when we ponder the Christmas story, isn't it? But Simeon wasn't done. He wasn't finished. And his next statement will be aimed right at the heart of Mary. Look at verse 34. "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed.'" And then check this verse. "And a sword," speaking to Mary now, "a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many may be revealed." Sorrow will come upon Mary. The sorrow will be like a sword stabbing her deeply. Now, parenthood is a blessing from the Lord, no doubt. But it also involves the potential for great sorrow, doesn't it? Mary would develop a wounded heart. Well, let's remember some of the experiences in Mary's life by starting with a pain of a wounded heart. In other words, where do these pains come from? And the first one is wounds from without. Wounds from without. Babies usually bring families together, don't they? I mean, the mere presence of a baby brings all sorts of coos and smiles and parents starting and other adults acting goofy around babies like they never do any other time. But it's a reminder of the importance in life. What is important? Our daily priorities, when we become a parent, our daily priorities change. And we see things differently in life now, and let's face it, others see us differently when we become parents. For Mary and Joseph, this warmth, the glow of having a child was short-lived. It was a hard lesson to receive. Not everyone in life is nice. Not everyone in life is godly. Not everyone is spirit-led. Mary and Joseph have been living with Jesus in Bethlehem for some time. They've been basking in the glow of the baby's first smile and, you know, first sounds and all this. And then during this time, wise men visit. They're led to Jesus. They gave gifts, they blessed the child, and then they departed. And then we find this in Matthew's account, chapter 2, verse 13. "Now when they," that is the wise men, "had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt." God warned Joseph and Mary to flee for safety. Wounds from without were coming upon their lives because of this child. Now, you may not have felt wounds similar to this from without, like Mary and Joseph. But have you had someone hurt you physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually? Sadly, many of our wounds from without can come from well-meaning Christians. Well-meaning Christians who speak when they shouldn't, who judge and think their way must be the only way. But see, sometimes we have this, we have wounds from within, a little bit closer to us. One of the most terrifying moments, I think, for a parent is when they're in a store and they can't find their child. They're there one moment, next moment they're gone. Or maybe you're at home waiting for your child to come home from school or something like that, and they're enormously late, and your heartbeat starts going up, goes into overdrive as you're wondering what's going on, what's wrong, where are they? Well, Mary dealt with a similar issue. Jesus is now 12 years old. Family traveled to Jerusalem for a festival, and on the way home, they're with a large group of family traveling together, kind of a something that you did. They would, since they're walking and or riding slowly, they would all be together in large groups, a large pack, adults walking and talking with adults, children walking and talking with kids. Everyone felt good about the festival that they just attended. The group stopped for the night in their journey. Mary and Joseph go to round up their kids. 1, 2, 3. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? He couldn't be found. And then we find in Luke 2:45. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." They searched for Jesus for 3 days. Think about that. If you've been searching for your child for 3 days and had no idea where they were, imagine the things that go through your mind of possibly what has happened to your child as you look for 3 days. And did you hear the stress of the wound from within? And Mary felt, she says, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." Mary is over the top in anxiety here. Those 3 days of searching for Jesus no doubt left a mark on Mary. But to be a parent is to be vulnerable to great pain. To love much is to risk hurt. Pain from within family relationships are real. They're real. And they can be serious wounds from within. There's one other wound. Wounds surrounding life. Just general wounds from all around. Sometimes after this last story, Joseph dies. Mary becomes a widow. And they guess at about how many kids. There was a minimum at least 6 children, if not some say 8. Because we know there were 4 boys and plural girls. Mary has this group to take care of now without Joseph. The departure of a loved one is never easy. And Mary's wounds surrounding life involve the death of Joseph. But these wounds can occur in other ways. Maybe it's a crippling illness. Maybe it's a divorce. You know, you stood there at that marriage altar on that day and you said your vows and you said, "Till death do us part," and you meant it with all your heart. But it was easier said than done. The loss of a spouse, according to psychologists, is one of the highest stressors in people's lives. It's a major wound to the heart. And Mary understood that wound. The wounds that surround life can come in other forms, though. Lost jobs, lost relationships, lost dreams, lost hopes, and more. Loss in life leaves a wound to the heart. And with each loss, I wonder, does Mary remember Simeon's prophecy about that sword of sorrow wounding her heart? Max Lucado wrote in a book entitled, You'll Get Through This, concerning times of hardships and wounds. He said, you'll get through this. It won't be painless, and it won't be quick. But God will use this mess for your good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. Because with God's help, you'll get through this. What is he saying? What is he saying in this? He's saying wounds do not come without pain. Wounds will have pain. And yes, your pain is real. And don't let people tell you it's not real. It is real. But he also says the pain won't go away quickly. Oh, it's going to ease a little at a time, but it's not going to go away quickly. He also says God will point you eventually to some good. Now, sometimes that good you might not see until you leave this life and go to the next. Don't make rash decisions, he says. Don't do something foolish or let someone take advantage of you during your wounded time. He also says don't despair. Feeling hopeless, feeling depressed, well, that's our normal reaction. He says, so be careful with those thoughts. And then he says, with God's help, the wounds will heal. Well, with that in mind, let me give you three strategies that offer hope for wounded hearts. Three strategies that offer hope for wounded hearts. And the first one is look up. Look up. Look toward God in the midst of this. If there's any point in your Christian journey where scripture reading and prayer time should increase, it should be when you're involved with wounded hearts. Whatever wounds you are dealing with, you can find it in scripture, I believe. Death of a loved one, financial loss, family squabbles, hurt from a loved one. They're there. The stories are there. The list goes on of how people lives were moved by God in the midst of their wounded hearts. Prayer is very important. Keep the lines of communication with God open. And you know what? God doesn't mind. He doesn't mind you being angry and upset. He really doesn't mind that. You look through Scripture and you see all sorts of godly characters as we look at them who get angry with God at times, as long as your hope remains with God. I mean, the book of Lamentations is Jeremiah being upset with God. He's lamenting over problems. And then 1 Peter 5:7 reminds us, cast all our cares on Him because He cares for you. See, God's a big God. And He's much, much bigger than your wound. Even if no one else around you cares, He does. See, He is the author of love. He's the author of peace. He is the author of joy. And what are you seeking when you're wounded like this? What are you seeking when your wounds hurt? You're seeking love. You're seeking peace. You're seeking joy. The very thing that God provides. When wounded hearts occur, look up to God. Seek Him. But there's another practical step. Rest up. Rest up. I often ask people when they're going through these stressful moments in life, are you getting any sleep? Are you sleeping? And the other part is, are you eating properly? Even though, yes, we are spiritual creatures, God gave us these physical bodies right now, and we need to take care of them. And sometimes we neglect that when we have wounded hearts. When wounded hearts occur, we often do not sleep properly, we do not eat properly, and what happens when we do that? It causes our wounds to feel deeper because we're not physically ourselves. We often cannot think clearly, and making decisions, especially big decisions, they shouldn't be done at all while we're resting up. It's essential to get our body back in proper working order again so we can find hope for our wounded hearts. So look up, rest up, and finally stand up. Stand up. There's a commercial for the drug Celebrex, and it uses a variation of Newton's first law of motion. The commercial says, a body at rest remains at rest, and a body in motion remains in motion. Well, the idea of the commercial is, of course, that you'll become a vegetable if you don't keep moving. Well, that's also true with a wounded heart. Even though it's very hard, yes. It's very hard because the pain can hurt from a wounded heart. The sooner that you're able to stand up and get moving with life again, the quicker you'll begin the healing of your wound. When we wallow in self-pity, when we live in a life of woe is me, the wound will not only, it just won't heal, and sometimes will get worse. Prophet Elijah had a moment when Queen Jezebel tried to kill him. Now, that's a depressing situation when the government's out to kill you. But Elijah reacted by hiding. He went into hiding and he was licking his wounds of self-pity. And he says unto God, he says, God, I'm the only one out here following you. I'm the only one out here doing your will. I've done so much for you, God. How could you let my life be in danger now? Ever use that phrase, I've done so much for you, God? Well, God asked Elijah, what are you doing hiding here? He also told him, he said, I've got more than just you out here. There's thousands of others out here too who are followers. You're not the only one, Elijah. But see, that's what happens when we have a wounded heart. We start turning inside. We turn inward and we start the pity party. And he said, I got a job for you, Elijah. Stand up and get going again. Elijah lived too long in his wounded heart in hiding, and God informed him that the best medicine was to stand up and get a life in motion again instead of a life at rest. Well, are you experiencing any wounds this Christmas? For some, the wound may be very great. You're in need of immediate emergency care in your life. And for others, the wounds may be smaller, but they're still nagging at you each day. Wounds can come from multiple directions too, just like the life of Mary. And even though the wound hurts and changes our lives, the real step is, are you taking the next step? The real test is, are you taking the next step? There is hope for wounded hearts. Healing your wound takes time, but it also takes action. And so are you looking up to God? Are you resting up to get stronger? But then there comes that time. There comes that day when you got to stand up and get moving with life again in God's strength. Wounds heal quicker when God is at the center. It's not easy. But with Jesus living in you, there is hope. Now see, there's one other wound that Mary dealt with. It's probably the greatest wound. And it was that day when she's there looking up at the cross and seeing her son on that cross. That had to be a wound that just stabbed at her that day, to see her son on that cross. But that greatest wound led to greatest joy just a few days later when Jesus rose from the dead. Do you know that greatest joy in your life? Have you come to the place where you've asked Jesus Christ to come in you, to forgive you of your sins, to believe that he is the Son of God. He rose from the dead. He carried my sins on that cross and then received that greatest joy because he lives. And then make that choice to follow him. And maybe this Christmas season, that's the choice you need to make. And that'll heal the greatest wound you ever have, the wound called sin. Because he'll wipe away all that sin. Because he paid for it on the cross. Or maybe there's other wounds within your life right now. And you just need to spend time praying about it. Lord, I need strength now, Lord. And you need to be in prayer. And you can pray for where you'll be standing in a moment. Or you can come up here and pray. Or I'll pray with you. But there's maybe a wound within that needs healing. Whatever God has called you to this day, be open to his call. Let's go to him now in prayer. Father, we know that Mary, yes, she is a remarkable person. And yet, Lord, she dealt with so many tragedies along the way. Simply because of the calling of Jesus Christ as her son. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn from her wounds. And that, Father, we will be, yes, Father, relying on you, looking up to you. We'll rest, yes, but also that comes that day to stand up in you. And to keep moving forward with life, realizing that our great joy, our great hope is still to come. Lord, guide us now in this time of decision making. Open up our hearts to what you have to say to us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.